The Legend of Sleepy Hollow by Washington Irving. Many people believed that the region was haunted by a headless horseman. Now and then he was seen in the gloom of night, racing along in search of his head. Along the eastern shore of the Hudson River, at a spot the old Dutch sailors called the Tappan Zee, lies a small village. It is known by the name of Tarrytown. About 2 miles from this village, there is a little valley hidden among high hills. It is one of the quietest places in the world. A small brook glides through it, murmuring just enough to lull one to sleep. The occasional cry of a quail or the tapping of a woodpecker is almost the only sound that breaks the silence. Because of the peaceful nature of the place and the drowsy nature of its inhabitants, this little valley is known by the name of Sleepy Hollow. A dreamy atmosphere seems to hang over the land. Some say that the place was put under a spell years ago, long before the area was discovered by Henry Hudson. Certainly, the people there are given to all kinds of unusual beliefs. They frequently see strange sights and hear music and voices in the air. The whole neighborhood is filled with tales of ghosts and haunted spots. The chief spirit that haunts this region is a figure on horseback without a head. He is said to be the ghost of a Hessian soldier whose head had been carried away by a cannonball during the Revolutionary War. Now and then he is seen by the village folk, hurrying along in the gloom of the night. He passes through on the wings of the wind, they say, in search of his head. And this figure is known as the Headless Horseman of Sleepy Hollow. In this place, there lived some years ago a man by the name of Ichabod Crane. He stayed in the village of Sleepy Hollow for the purpose of teaching the children of the area. The name Crane was most appropriate to this person. He was tall, but extremely thin, with narrow shoulders and long arms and legs. His hands dangled a mile out of his sleeves, and his feet might have served as shovels. His whole frame was hung together most loosely. He had huge ears, large green glassy eyes, and a long, sharp nose. To see him striding along on a windy day with his clothes flapping and fluttering about him, one might have mistaken him for some scarecrow escaped from a cornfield. His log schoolhouse was a low building of one large room. It stood in a lonely but pleasant spot, just at the foot of a hill where a brook ran by. The soft murmur of his pupils' voices, repeating their lessons, might be heard like the hum of bees on a drowsy summer's day. Now and then the sharp voice of the master interrupted in a tone of menace or command. True to tell, he was a conscientious man who ever kept in mind the words, "Spare the rod and spoil the child." Ichabod's scholars were surely not spoiled. When school hours were over, he was the companion and friend of the older boys, and on holiday afternoons, he would accompany home some of the smaller boys, especially those who happened to have mothers known for their cooking. Indeed, he had to be on good terms with his pupils, for his pay was small, and although he was thin, his appetite was enormous. As was the custom in those parts, he lived for 1 week at a time at the houses of the farmers whose children he instructed. Thus, every week he made his rounds of the neighborhood with all of his worldly goods tied up and a cotton handkerchief. Ichabod was thought of as a man of learning, for he had read several books from the beginning to the end. He knew quite well Cotton Mather's History of New England Witchcraft, a work in which he most firmly believed. It was often his pleasure to stretch out near the little brook, after school was over, and read old Mather's fearful tales for hours. Then, as he made his way back to the farmhouse where he happened to be living, every sound terrified his excited imagination. Another of his fearful pleasures was to pass long winter evenings with the old Dutch wives as they sat spinning wool by the fire. He would listen to their marvelous tales of ghosts and goblins and haunted bridges and haunted houses, and particularly of the headless horseman or the Galloping Hessian of the Hollow, as they sometimes called him. He would delight them in turn by his own tales of witchcraft and stories of comets and shooting stars. But later, as he walked homeward, what frightful shapes and shadows crossed his path. And often, as the wind roared and howled through the trees, he was thrown into terror by the thought that it was the headless horseman on one of his nightly rides. In addition to his other jobs, Ichabod was the singing master of the neighborhood. Among those who assembled one evening each week to receive singing lessons was Katrina Van Tassel. She was the only child of the rich Dutch farmer. She was a lass of 18, rosy-cheeked and famed for her beauty. She was also known as a bit of a flirt. Ichabod had a soft and foolish heart toward the ladies. No wonder it was that Katrina soon found favor in his eyes, especially after he had visited her in her magnificent mansion. Old Baltus Van Tassel was a thriving and successful farmer. Near his mansion was a huge barn which overflowed with every treasure of the farm. Ichabod's mouth watered as he thought about possible future meals. He pictured roasting pigs, each with an apple in its mouth. He thought about pigeons in pigeon pie, geese swimming in gravy, and dishes of delicious ducks. As he imagined all of this, he rolled his large green eyes over the fat meadow lands. He saw the rich fields of wheat, the rye and corn, and the orchards filled with ripe fruit, and his heart yearned for Katrina, who was to inherit these lands. When he entered the house, his heart was completely won over. The furniture, a fine mahogany wood, shone like mirrors, and everywhere were displayed treasures of old silver and excellent china. From the moment Ichabod saw these delights, his only concern was how to win the affections of the daughter of Van Tassel. In this matter, however, he faced problems. One of the most serious was a rough and burly fellow by the name of Bron Van Brunt. He was the hero of the countryside, because of his feats of strength and courage. He was broad-shouldered and sturdied, with short, curly black hair and a face full of fun and good humor. Because of his mighty frame and great powers of limb, he had received the nickname of Brom Bones. Brom was famous for his skill in horsemanship and was always ready for a fight, though he had more mischief than ill will in his nature. Brom had three or four good friends who regarded him as their model. Sometimes, at midnight, his crew would be heard dashing along past the farmhouses, startling the neighbors out of their sleep. The villagers would listen a moment until the horses had clattered by. Then they would exclaim, "Ah, there goes Brom Bones and his gang." Such was the formidable rival with whom Ichabod had to deal. Under cover of his role as a singing teacher, Ichabod made frequent visits to the Van Tassel mansion. Meanwhile, he became the object of a number of practical jokes by Brom Bones and his gang. They smoked out the singing school by stopping up the chimney. They broke into the schoolhouse at night and turned everything upside down so that the poor schoolmaster began to think that all the witches in the country held their meetings there. But what was most annoying, Brom took every occasion to make fun of him in the presence of Katrina. For example, he taught a dog to whine in the most ridiculous manner, then introduced it to Katrina as a rival singing teacher. Matters went on in this way for some time.